Welcome to another episode of Innovation Odyssey. Today I have with me Dennis Lee, who is the CEO at Market Stadium. Welcome, Dennis.
Hi, Lorenu.
How are you?
I'm very great, actually. Yeah, so how about you?
I'm good. As I mentioned, I was running around town, so things got a little busy in the new year, huh?
Yeah, new year is always busy, yeah. So
which part of the world are you in?
Right now I'm currently in South Korea, the Seoul, the capital city of Korea, but I'm walking back and forth.
And I like to start off the episodes with asking the guests to introduce themselves with a 30-second elevator pitch of who they are and what they do. So I hand it over to you.
Sure. To start with my name, Dennis Lee, like you mentioned. Thank you so much. And my name is Dennis Lee, like Dennis the Menace. So that's the reason I create my name as a Dennis Lee for my marketing purpose. And then I love it. And I'm the guy who loves the prop tech and strongly believe the future of this. So I look forward to seeing this. And I'm the guy who has experience in real estate and urban planning and computer science. So that's my background. And yeah, that's my short intro of my name. And then, yeah.
And what does the company do?
Yeah, so we are a one-stop location analytic platform to the real estate investors and developer. And we provide the proprietary data and urban intelligence and AI analytics that enables investors to make more informed decisions with more degrees of freedom.
So if I had to compare Market Stadium with, say, a Zillow, what would be the difference?
So we are more like analytic platform. So our platform targeting is more like institutional level investors. So we provide the plenty of data and then our urban planning research, as well as AI analytics that, so for example, let's say the user comes in and if they want to find their next investable location based on their strategy, then we can solve the problem. We can accelerate the process. And second case is that once they receive a bunch of deals, multiple deals from a broker, but they have to analyze the deals at the same time in a short period of time. So in that case, they can expedite the process. So our solution is providing the data, research, and analytics. Then we can save our users time and money. So that's our job. And differentiation from the Zillow is that we are more like analytic platform and targeting institutional level investors. Yeah.
And when did you launch the platform?
The launch of the platform, I would say like a year and a half, I think, officially launched a year and a half. But we started our company, like, it's almost 3 years. So, but officially launched our MVP or, platform a year and a half years ago.
And what was the motivation for you to starting Market Stadium?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So then I want to share a little bit of my journey. So my journey started from the time when I was an urban planning researcher. So I was studying about urban planning and I didn't know what was that. But after I joined the research team and my research was identifying the next gentrification area. So have you heard of gentrification? Like, especially like in New York, like Williamsburg, and now it's Bushwick. So it was not a good area, but now like getting popular that a lot of young generation moving in and a lot of people just go there and take a picture and upload on Instagram. So it's getting famous. So now the price goes up. So that's the process of, being gentrified. And my research was the finding the next gentrification area using a lot of analytics because I was curious that why the gentrification started from the specific location. And I assumed that maybe there could be a locational benefit. So I just wanted to find, the factors, locational factors. So I probe it and I realized there is a plenty of urban planning research that could help real estate investment. So for example, if we know the gentrification in advance, then we can buy at the lowest price and you know, sell at the high. So that's why there are a lot of great urban planning research that could assist real estate investment. And after that, I decided to study about real estate finance in order to understand the, you know, real estate industry. So I study about real estate finance at NYU and work at the several real estate companies, and finally landed the company called the Lionstone Investment in Houston, Texas, which is a real estate investment company applying the data analytics. So when they invest into the real estate, they heavily use the data analytics, and then I love their strategy, and that was my strategy, and I learned a lot from there. So my role was finding the next investable location for them. So, and then I realized at the time I was asked by a lot of my friends around me, and they asked me, hey, Dennis, so how do you think of this market? And this market could be better to invest or not? And they asked me a lot of questions in terms of the market analysis. And then I realized the quality of data available in this industry was super lacking at the time. And also, you know, people ask me a lot. So that's why I think that it could be amazing to provide this kind of a one-stop analytic platform to the investor to make more informed decision. So that's the reason I started this company with my friends. Yeah.
And is the company funded?
Yeah. Yes. We raised almost $1 million for the seed round, and we are raising right now, by the way. So yeah, you know, if anyone interested, then I can pitch right away anytime I'm ready. Let us know.
And did the company that you worked for, Lionstone Investments, did they invest in your company?
Oh no, actually, so I love their, you know, system, and then I love them, but they have their own research team, so I haven't asked yet. But maybe if there's a time, why not? You know, I can ask, because for the first time, we didn't know about the investment, and we didn't know about how to build a company. And then, so that's why, like, maybe I missed the chance to ask. But if there's a time, if the time comes in, and yeah, if they love it, then why not? Because I just still respect their investment strategy, and then I love their system. Yeah.
So if you actually show your product to this particular company, would you be replacing, say, a group of analysts who does the work for them?
Well, it depends, because still in the real estate company, a lot of private equity firm, they're subscribe a lot of different data vendors. So what it means is that, so even though they have an analyst internally, so analyst's job is pulling the data, and they have to analyze based on their strategy, right? So our job is not making a decision for them, because it could be very cautious, because each real estate company has their own like strategy. So our platform is more like, hey, we built a beautiful stadium, and you know, play yourselves based on your strategy. So we can save your time and money, but we don't want to make a decision, because you know maybe more than us. So it depends on you, you know, which analytics you choose and then play. But here's a playground you can play. So that's our concept.
So Lionstone would be actually a great client who can probably fund you as well.
Yeah, Lionstone is too smart, I think. So, yeah.
So, but going back to your journey of why you started Market Stadium, what do you think creates gentrification? What are the triggers behind it? Do you have a general idea?
Well, yeah. So, this is like, gentrification is always like subjective subject. So, but my opinion is that where the rich young generation with higher educated people are moving right now. So those are the key factor for us. And then I will add the some kind of locational factors as well. But that's the major factors we considered.
I see. So it's really the that's very interesting, where the young people move that actually decides the next big real estate hotspot.
Yeah, that's our opinion. So for example, let's say that people like the recently like Tesla built the factory in Texas, right? Like Austin or wherever in Texas, then a lot of the smart people, smart young generation, they are willing to move. They are willing to move to work there, right? So in that case, you know, the higher educated or, you know, higher paying, you know, young generation, they are moving to somewhere nearby there, right? Then, you know, ultimately, you know, price will go up. So that's our assumption.
I see. I mean, this is interesting because I had a conversation with someone about health trends. And if you are an investor, what can you do to make money? And I heard them say, someone say that you should look at what, say, 17 or 18-year-old girls are doing in health, the classes that they take. And that kind of is an indicator for the next big money spinner.
So, yes, yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah, that's very interesting.
So I kind of, because, you know, as you may know, my background is economist, and I have a lot of interest in understanding why do people do what they do? Why do they drink? Why do they smoke? So gentrification is, I mean, some part of that we covered in our studies. And so especially with the view on, this is a little bit of the view of the impact of neighborhoods on obesity.
Right.
So this is such a very interesting question, because in my mind, it was maybe driven by purely like, say, lack of space. That was one of the ideas I had in my mind. So this is very interesting. And you also mentioned that you were in Seoul. I assume that you moved to the U.S. to study?
Yeah, right. So, yeah. So I'll share it quickly. So I was born and raised in Korea, especially Seoul. And I study and work in the U.S., especially in New York, and I work in New York as well as Houston, Texas.
And what is the major difference that you see in the two countries, just in terms of, maybe let's start with the work environment?
Oh, sorry, but I couldn't hear you a little bit. But like you're saying, is that what's the difference
in between the U.S. and South Korea, especially in terms of work environment?
Right. So I think there are a lot of differences. So that's why, like, but I'm a big fan of both. But in terms of the work environment, I'm a big fan of U.S. Yeah, because the first of all, the flexibility. So what it means is that if I'm the CEO, and then if there's in the U.S., you guys can hire or very, very easily, and say goodbye to your employee very easily. And yeah, it's very flexible, I think, the employment. But in Korea, there's a law that we cannot tell them, hey, so I don't think that this is your job or something like that. So sometimes, like, because of that, like, we just make an environment and let them quit themselves. So it's a little bit sad. But if there's a flexibility, then there are a lot of great things. The first of all is that competition, right? So let's say that if I have a lot of ability, then I can go somewhere else. And then a lot of company call me to come and work there. In that case, I can say that, hey, I have to go there. And then they just, they will give me a lot of salary. So, you know, that's my choice. And then maybe the company thinks that I'm a very great guy. Then, they want to grab me, right? By increasing my salary a little bit more. So there's a competition that I can, so I can be a company myself, maybe in the US, but in Korea, so there's no flexibility. So if you get into the company, then there's a system you can follow it and salary is, salary is already set up. Most of the companies, like the big companies, especially maybe not for real estate and finance industry, but a lot of other companies, they already set up a salary. So, we can expect how much I can earn, you know, when I get, 60 or 65, something like that. And even it's really hard to get there. So, so that's the one differences. And the other difference is that, like, I think that, like, this is like maybe Asian thing or East Asian culture, that like hierarchy. So, maybe like, East Asian, maybe the Korea and Japan. I think that since there is a hierarchy, and then I love the hierarchy outside of the company. I can respect the older people, and then I can respect the people. I think that's really needed. But inside the company, like this is the Steven Jobs said that the company should run by ideas, it's not by ages, because I can understand that if there's a person older than me, maybe they can know some parts more than me, but maybe I can know some parts more than him. So we need to expect each other, because I always, you know, love meeting, you know, the people younger than me. And then I want to get the fresh ideas and want to, you know, try to understand their trends as well. So, I love meeting all kinds of people and want to learn from, you know, each age. And I think that's a really great thing. But in the US, like you already know that there's something like hierarchy, but it's not a hierarchy by age. So I think that, if you have an ability, then, I think you can, I think, do better, here in the US, not in South Korea. And, I think those are the two differences.
And so your team, is it split? How many of you are there?
Yeah, right now we have 7 people in the team.
And they are they equally in the US and in Seoul?
No, it's like the spread out, you know, across the globe. But some portion in the US, some portion in Korea, and one in Australia. So we are working remotely.
Yeah. That's challenging to manage in terms of time zones, huh?
Yeah, but like since we could manage each other because, you know, we've known each other for a long time, and then we know each other, you know, each person's style and characteristics. So I think it's quite, you know, efficient so far. Yeah.
And the fundraising that you're doing it in the US?
Yeah, like actually the fundraising, I think the wherever is fine. Even Mars. If like someone or somebody in Mars, they want to invest in, I can go there right away.
Yeah, I know the feeling. We go where the money goes, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So it's so I think it's not it's really it's a great deal, because if there's a people who have a lot of money and then they can invest in, and then we have the skill set to make this happen and move the world forward, then I think it's a great exchange. And then if someone, you know, who wants to invest in, then why not? Like from like wherever, I think. But primarily focus on the Korea and the US because there are more relevant investors.
So is your platform, is it applicable to global, like companies all over the world, or is it just US?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So I would say like this, We cover USA market only, but since USA real estate market, maybe as far as I remember that based on the transaction volume wise, they occupy over 40% in the world. It means that, a lot of people in the world, they are willing to invest in the US market. So ultimately targeting, a lot of people in the world.
I see. So, but do you want to go to other countries? Like I'm thinking countries like India, for example, or other developing countries where there is such a very a big demand for real estate investment.
Yes, that's a really great question. So India could be amazing mm-hmm. spot, because there are a lot of people and there are a lot of places to build. But mm-hmm. maybe like the it should be start with the developers, actual developers, to go there and to find the opportunity first, and then because I don't know about the data in India, but I know that there are a lot of like just Indian Americans or just Indians, they can good at this computer science. I met a lot of them, but so I don't know, like the data is available a lot in India. So if there is the data and if there is a demand, then why not? So that's our strategy. But since like still a lot of things to do in the U.S. market, so like the once I'm done with this, then maybe next market could be maybe like developing countries or the country where the capital is flowing in. Yeah. So.
And can I use your platform via a web browser, or is there an app on the phone?
Oh, not app on the phone, but it's a platform on the website. Yeah. So you can get into with your computer.
I see. And do you offer like trial versions to take for people, like a 30-day trial or something like that?
Yes. Our acquisition process is like this. You know, once you reach out, or if the people out there reach out to us, then we set up a demo meeting, like one mm-hmm. by one. We'll just share our platform very quickly, like 5 to 10 minutes. And if they find opportunities and then they show the interest, then okay, then let's set up a trial meeting, but at the same time, tutorial meeting, because mm-hmm. they have to use it, right? So then after the trial and tutorial, maybe for 1 week, 2 weeks, depending on their needs, and then we'll send the proposal in the meantime, and if mm-hmm. they like it, then acquisition start. Yeah, so that's the short process.
Okay, what have been, say, the main challenge that you faced so far?
Well, it was a reliability sector. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'd say that because let's say that, you know, if somebody built a company, like that, mm-hmm. they said, oh, this is a real estate platform. It is amazing. It is a data company. But for the first time, a lot of people ask us that, okay, so who used your platform? And mm-hmm. because they don't know us, right? So what we realize is that in the real estate industry, maybe that's the real estate industry specifically, because this is not the keyboard, because if we love the keyboard design, maybe mm-hmm. like we don't have to care about the branding, right? Mm-hmm. But this is not the keyboard, right? This is the not a commodity. This is the data. So, but in the real estate industry, they have to invest in like more than million or 10 million, right? It's a big money should flow in. So that's why, like, if the data is wrong, then they're gonna be in trouble. So that's why, like, I think that reliability was the challenge, but that's why we focus on getting the reliability. So that's why, like, you know, we were trying to reach out to the big name companies, like the Berkadia, and then NYU. So we ultimately joined the Berkadia's accelerator called the Berkadia Engaged. Berkadia and the Berkadia Be Engaged is a different system. Berkadia is a real estate company. Berkadia Be Engaged is accelerator of the Berkadia. And the Berkadia is Warren Buffett's subsidiary. And it's one of the biggest real estate companies in the U.S. And we started official partnership with NYU Real Estate Program. So it could be very powerful because there are a lot of current and potential real estate players in the classroom. So, you know, if they start using our platform, they start experimenting our platform, then when they graduate and they go to company, and then, you know, if they need it, they can recommend to the, you know, company. That's why, like, I think the branding is very important and the marketing is very important. And that was a challenge. But I think we solved it pretty much. And nowadays, a lot of people, after the NYU partnership, and we release our articles regularly. And then we try our best to show we are reliable. And now, like, the more and more people, they start believing us that, okay, this is great. And then they refer to friends and then other people. And then they request a demo. And then we ask them, oh, how did you find our company? And, oh, well, like, this guy recommend me. And then I saw your article, and it was very interesting that I, you know, wanted to see, you know, what's going on there. So, now I think, we got the reliability more than before. So, yeah.
I see. So I think anytime I think about anything real estate, I'm now really going to have Market Stadium in my mind. So I think you've done such a great job of selling the concept. What are the data sources for it? Is that open source?
Yeah, so we just started from the open sources, like pretty much open sources, public, but sometimes the private sources, but we collected ourselves 100%. But we started from the open sources, but based on that, we recreated our own proprietary data. So which means that, for example, the census, we collected a lot of data from the census, but census provides by 2021, year 2021. There's a lagging. So based on that, we, you know, once we collect the data, we clean it and we forecast it to 2026. So that's one of the process, or we create our own research factor. So for example, the gentrification score based on the public and private sources. So that's our job. Starting from the public, but make it proprietary.
Okay. Wow, that's really interesting. So in terms of features, is there anything else that you want to expand, or in terms of milestones, what's the next one for your product?
Yeah, so that's a really great question. So our biggest differentiation is analytic and provide the market and property level information and urban intelligence research data into the certain level of boundary. But now I think, you know, if we raise a fund, then, you know, we want to plug in the property information. So like, for example, like who's the owner or that kind of information, by buying the data from a vendor out there. And, that's our next step in a short period of time. And, yeah, so that's our goal. But and wanna add like more analytics that could be very powerful for bringing the higher return for investor.
I can see that. Is it also right to assume that this is your first entrepreneurial gig?
Exactly, the first.
How do you like it?
Well, I love it. I just started because I love doing this. And when I was in the company, especially the Lionstone, I worked during the weekend. Like, you know, nobody told me the work during the week, like weekend, but I work it because it was not working. It was my life, and then because it was so fun, and then I had a lot of curiosity. So I just wanted to analyze this thing. I just wanted to know the answer right away. So that's why the working, and still I love it. And yeah.
And do you think of yourself as an entrepreneur or an innovator?
Yeah, so that's really, you know, hard to pick one of them. But I would say like this. I have some characteristic of being entrepreneur. For example, some mindset. So for example, I have a mindset that I don't give up because I love it. And then I have mindset, I don't know why, but somebody says it's impossible to me. This is like, you know, what Arnold Schwarzenegger said that, but I totally agree with that. So that's why I just wanted to, you know, say his quote again here. Somebody says impossible to me, then I always go after. Because I don't know why, but, you know, inner side said that you need to prove it because you love it. Because you said this could be done, but, you know, if other people say no, okay, then maybe there's an opportunity over there. So that's my mindset. And second is the marketing part, because I love marketing, and then I love marketing myself as well as the company marketing as well, like the shorten the line. For example, you know, always mention myself that Dennis, like Dennis the Menace, Prop Tech Dennis, Korean Dennis. So then like you, like other people can remember me. Oh, Korean guy, oh, Dennis, or Prop Tech guy, Dennis, something like that. And also the company wise, I think marketing is the most important, one of the most important parts. And the last thing is that I love, you know, motivating the people. And then I love, you know, giving kind of positiveness or the hope to people chasing their dreams, because I love people. I love meeting people and talking with people. And then I always, you know, want to, you know, exchange my energy with them. And then I want to get their energy as well. And then I want to learn from there. So that's my characteristic. And then don't know why. So if those are the factors that represent the entrepreneur, then I have some kind of strong characteristic of that factors. But I'm the guy who wants to be an innovator because I'm a big fan of Elon Musk. And then because I have a lot of curiosity towards this world, like while walking on the street and, you know, like, you know, standing in the department store, you know, wherever, I always try to observe the people or, you know, like any other stuffs around me. And like, for example, you know, whenever I take the train and I always curious that why the exit door is always just one, then it takes a lot of time to get out. Right. And maybe like the plane just considered that the first class or business class clients, customer, then I can understand that. But if airplane door opens like a Lamborghini, like, you know, down to up, then we can get out at once. Right. Maybe like there's a reason, but always like I want to solve that reason. Yeah, so I was curious about why is that. So I ask a lot of times why? Why the train looks like that? Why the table looks like that? Why we need a data? Why we need something? Why is that? So I always ask myself and why. And second example is that, you know, I want to be some kind of, you know, in a positive way, I want to be a crazy guy in this era. So what I mean is that, so I got a lot of, you know, like inspiration, from an example of Leonardo da Vinci. And by the way, I love Leonardo DiCaprio as well as an actor, but yeah, this case is Leonardo da Vinci. Yeah, da Vinci. Because like, in the 14th century, maybe like you already know that, he drew, like helicopter sketch. He didn't know like, this could be the helicopter or something like that, but he drew the helicopter referencing the bird, like the bird is flying. So based on the bird is flying, he drew a sketch of helicopter. And because of that, helicopter could be built from somebody out there, but I forgot the name, but somebody out there. But because of that, Wright brothers, they start building or thinking to build the plane. So that's why, like, we can go, they're still far away, but this, we can go from South Korea to New York for 14 hours. Still a lot of times, I know that, but still, yeah. But in the 14th century, when the Da Vinci was drawing the like that helicopter sketch, and then a lot of people told to him that the crazy guy, like maybe idiot, yeah, something like that. But because of that crazy guy, because of that idiot guy, we can get a lot of benefit from him. So that's why I want to be like that kind of person. I want to contribute my value to this world and, you know, give the great present for the next generation. So that's my dream and that's my joy. So that's why I'm the guy who wants to be an innovator, even mm-hmm. though it's really hard. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm following those dreams. Yeah.
Fair enough. Do you think your exposure of studying and working in the US has played a role in kind of getting you to where you are now?
Yes, 100%. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So because I think the like the US environment is a great environment to start a business. And then when I was in New York, I love New York City. Because whenever I go there, I get a lot of energies from the people. Yeah, right. Because I love meeting people, like even on the street or in the elevator, I don't really care. But there are a lot of great people in New York City, and then I'm, you know, always getting a lot of energies from them. And they actually, whenever I meet somebody out there, you know, they want to do something. That's the point that I like the most, because I have a lot of ideas and then I want to do something new, or like the creative thing. But whenever I meet the people over there and, you know, they said, oh, let's do it. And then I have this ability. So you have this ability. Do you want to start this, something like that? And then I met a lot of people like this in New York City, and the city never sleep, like Las Vegas. And then I love it. And because of that environment, you know, I could meet a lot of people there, and then I could learn a lot. You know, which is a very different from maybe like, maybe not really different, but a little bit different from the people in Seoul, Korea. But because here is more like a hometown, my hometown, born and raised hometown. So relaxed. And, but like there is more like is always challenge. So, it was always challenge for me because of the language, because of the, you know, different culture. But I like their culture, but I like the US culture a lot. So, there were a lot of challenges there, but I love, you know, the solving that and getting used to them. So, because of the, US education or US environment, that's why I could dream, bigger.
I love that. I feel the same.
Yes.
I know. I've walked into New York City and I'm a different person.
Right, right. Like,
right. Yes, it's amazing. But
people willing to, talk.
Yeah. It really energizes me as well. So I get you on that. And so as we go towards the end, do you have an outlook for your particular sector, especially considering the fact that we kind of came out of COVID? What is your outlook?
You mean the after the COVID, right?
So, yeah, after COVID, yeah.
Yeah. This is my opinion. After the COVID, before the COVID, big difference is the people working from home or working at, you know, the office. Before the COVID, a lot of people maybe couldn't expect that, working from home could bring the efficiency or something like that. It was really hard to expect, what could be happened. But after some of them experience it, and then some of them like it and some of them dislike it, So, but it depends on the industry, I think. Maybe like the computer industry or IT or that part, maybe like, maybe we don't have to go office often. Whereas like just still like real estate or other like manufacturing or that kind of industry or engineering part, if needed, then they have to go to the office. But the bigger part like change a lot. Like people like now, like they're willing to work at home instead of just going to office. And because of that, young generation, their trend change a lot based on my experience. Because I love meeting people and then I love calling to people right away because, I don't want to wait. So if there's a number, then call them and then ask them and then get the answer right away. So I'm the guy like this, but, these days I ask this question a lot to the young generation, like 10 years younger than me, like more, because I'm a millennial too, but they're more like a younger, like early 20s or something like that. And they said that like, they maybe someone, maybe I'm wrong, but, based on my experience, a lot of people, they don't think that like they have to meet a lot of people. And then, they're more like willing to meet the people they know already. And, they don't want to like the call to somebody and then, like the cold call and then ask like strange things. And then not like that, like instead of like calling, maybe like there's an app or there's a chatting system that they can ask like with a computer, so that's why like a lot of things are changing. So, and because, so along with this, I want to say one more thing that because of the co-working spaces, right? Because the co-working spaces now, like we don't have to stay in one place. Instead of staying in one place, we can work one day here, the other day there, right? Not in just US, in the world. Like we can work everywhere. If there's computer and if there's Wi-Fi, then we can work everywhere. They changed a lot of the real estate system, especially office market. So that's why a lot of office they want to convert to the multifamily. And I went to my friend's house like converting from the office in New Jersey, the Fort Lee, New Jersey, like Koreatown over there. And I went there and then the price was pretty good, but like the house is like that is apartment, but apartment unit is so big. So because it's really hard to find the big unit in New York, like New York City or like New York metro area. So, but the size is really square foot is really big. So it means that like if there is a great office building, they can convert to the big apartment. So I don't know, they can convert to the big unit because smaller unit and more unit bring higher like net operating income. So that's why maybe don't know the future, but at least my experience, I visited his house and then it was really great to live. So that's why that's the like the biggest changes.
That's a very positive outlook post-COVID, especially for the real estate, because that's been on my mind for some time. But I see that all the changes that you mentioned, how you can actually use it to work for you meaning the company. So that's a great way to end the show. And I want to wish you good luck in your fundraising. And I'm happy to give a shout out on your behalf and on the behalf of Market Stadium.